fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get juicy California red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA Choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for listening. It is greatly appreciated. I wanted to share this episode with you, even though it was set up to be a video. And if you go to House of L's YouTube page, you could actually watch it if you want. But I didn't do any commentary on it. I just put it out there for people to watch. And I wanted to at least tell you, the House of L listener on Apple or Spotify, some of the backstory that went into how this happened. And it's really exciting for me. Mitch Rosen and I sat down a few weeks ago and we were talking about all sorts of stuff. And I mentioned it, I think, in a pod earlier this week after the game. But he was really concerned with me not doing television and what the impact of me not doing television would be. He's like, are you good? I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good. I'm kind of looking at it as a sabbatical for TV. There is currently a role for me somewhere, but I haven't officially said yes, and they haven't. Well, they've offered opportunities, but I haven't officially said yes to any. So it's a little premature for me to say that that's where I'm going to be doing TV stuff. Because there's a part of me that is like, well, you've got a lot on your plate right now. The podcast is expanding. The afternoon show takes a lot of work and preparation, and you want to make sure that you're on the same level as the other three people that are part of that show. So maybe this is a good thing that football season is almost halfway over, and I'm not really feeling left out, and I kind of thought I was, and it was part of the conversation that Mitch and I had about what I was going to do next and what he wanted for me to do next. And one of the things that he said to me was, there's opportunities for you here. And it stuck in my head over the last month or so, him saying that there's opportunities for me to do stuff inside of Odyssey and inside of The Score. And so when we talked about this, I said, well, I have an idea. And I have an idea where House of L and The Score could partner on something. So he's like, okay, let's talk about it. I have been wanting to at least partly tell the story of Kelvin Kiptum since he passed away. It's a tragic story of an athlete who was on a meteoric rise and who captured the imagination of people who aren't even running fans. Like I run, or at least I used to. I don't run as much anymore because just when you're closing in on 50, it's not great for the joints. But I would never say that I was in the run community, even though I've run races, and definitely not in the distance community, which is a whole other thing. But hearing Kerry Pinkowski be so passionate last year, Dan and I had Carrie in, and he was like, I'm telling you, this Kelvin Kiptum guy, like, he's got a chance. He's got a chance of breaking the world record, and he's got a chance of doing a sub two marathon, which the concept of that is wild. Not in like a track, like you put a guy on a track and it's possible, but like a road race to do that is wild. So when Kiptum won the marathon, had the record shattered, it was amazing. And we went back and we talked with Carrie about it, and we were joking, like, could you have bet that anywhere? Where, like, where was the, it, was there something on FanDuel that we could have used to make ourselves rich because we had the inside information of how good Kelvin Kiptum was? So because Carrie was a fan of Kelvin Kiptum, I became a fan of Kelvin Kiptum. The academy that he started in Kenya with other distance runners. The guy seemed to have it all, the family dude, like all of these things. And then he dies. He dies in this horrific car crash that kills his coach, injures another runner. And everyone is just in disbelief on this. And with the marathon coming back up, I was like, this is a story that needs to be told by people who are around it. So I wanted to share that. And I wanted to share that with you. And so I said to Mitch, I said, look, this is the what I want to do. This is the vision of it. I would like to do a sit-down interview with Carrie Pinkowski, who's the director of the Bank of America Chicago Marathon, in our performance studio. It's a visual medium. I love the space. I said, I want to do that. I want the video to belong to House of L. I said, in return, I'm going to do a feature on this for the marathon broadcast. So if you listen to the marathon on Sunday before the Bears game, you'll hear my feature. So I did a 3-minute feature where I'm putting sound bites together, I'm tracking it, I'm writing it, like that sort of thing. And Mitch was like, go for it. So we booked out the studio. We talked to Carrie. Carrie was down with it. They set up the studio beautifully with a picture of Kiptum and Carrie. When Kiptum gets to the finish line, he breaks the tape. He runs at Carrie Pinkowski and he jumps into his arms. And it's a great moment. So they had that still in the background while Carrie and I were talking. And it's one of those things where sometimes you're at this point in my career, money isn't really the thing that motivates me. Like, I want to have enough money to live and try and live comfortably, but I'm pretty comfortable from a financial standpoint. I save like a miser. I live below my means, like all of that stuff. So even if and when I leave the score, I'll be all right. So when I go do TV, it's usually not like, well, I just want to get more money. Like, that's not the thing. The thing is creative outlet. That's why the football after show meant so much to me, because I was working with guys that I truly like and respect. And we were able to build something that was, I think, unique. So other television opportunities, they need to have similar uniqueness or creative outlets if I'm going to take them seriously, like not like one-offs like here or there. And when Mitch said, there are opportunities for you here, this is the type of thing that I wanted to do. Like, I want to stretch myself creatively. It's one of the great things about the challenges of the afternoon show. I now back, I'm using air quotes because you can't see me, driving a show. And I haven't done that since my solo show. And driving a show with a partner is different than driving a solo show. But being able to do something like this, and I wasn't paid for this. Like, I did this for the creative outlet of it. And I'm glad that I got the opportunity to do it. Now I get to give you the audio and the visual. And again, if you want to watch the interview, you can on House of L's YouTube page. But I also want to put it right here for you so that you can hear it and you can enjoy it, hopefully. So this is me sitting down with Kerry Pinkowski, the director of the Bank of America Chicago Marathon, talking about the life and death of Kelvin Kiptum. First, Kerry, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. And I know that this particular subject is rough for you. I'd like to go back to the beginning.
Okay.
When's the first time that you took notice of Kelvin?
Well, Kelvin Kiptum, I was aware. I'd heard of a young man in Kenya that was doing some amazing things in training and was impressing a lot of the athletes that had already been established. But I watched a video of him run in Valencia in his debut marathon where he ran under 202, 201.53, going off memory here, which was world-leading time in his first effort and amazing second half of the race. And then I saw him in person in London and saw how amazing he was in person. So I was aware his reputation preceded him a little bit, word of mouth, and then Valencia, and then seeing him in person, being, you know, a few feet from him in full flight, that's when I knew he was a very special individual.
I've been watching a lot of running videos with him, and a lot of the runners have said this guy's whole makeup is perfect. And if you watch him run the last 5 miles of Chicago, you see a guy that has the perfect form and balance. When you talk to people about him, when you talk to coaches, to experts about Kelvin, what did they say made him a special talent?
Well, obviously, his performances, but what he had done in training, how focused he was in training, how he really was able to, and his coaches, his managers, really his training and his direction, what his goals were, where he wanted to be on the horizon, just fit really well. And he just had it at such a young age. His preparation, his mental ability, the coaching and how he prepared, he really knew what he needed to do. And I think that was evident in Chicago.
I had even heard that he was running distances that most distance runners don't do in training.
Sure. You know, in order to do things historically in a competition, you have to do things historically in preparation. And in order to do what he does, there has to be a certain amount of luck, not on his side, but the training has to come together in an amazing way, which it did. Little things like travel, getting here from Kenya, you know, air travel. Sometimes there's a flight delay or you're stuck in an airport, which can throw your routine off. Everything aligned in an amazing way. And then, you know, marathon Sunday morning, the weather was about as perfect as it can get. And the truly great ones seize the moment. And I think he realized, if you talk to some of the athletes that have run in Chicago, they may say, you can ask them, how many times did you get in, you know, peak performance and had perfect weather? And someone will say never, in very illustrious careers, or they never had a day where it was perfect. The weather may have been perfect, but their training didn't go right, or there was an issue with everything aligned really well. And, you know, just to reiterate, the great ones seize the moment.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy California red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
how did you get to know him? Like, what were the things that, that you learned about him as you're getting ready for Chicago and his record-breaking run?
Well, you know, it was I had just a short period of time meeting him very briefly in London. I was just, there's, you know, when you're around someone that's charismatic or has an amazing personality, you can feel it. And he was just a very sweet, unassuming guy. And I hit it off with his manager, and his coach was the same way. But, you know, I just saw how he interacted with other people. People, you know, he would be in the lobby of the hotel and somebody would stop him, or he'd be, you know, I could see him walking down the street and someone. And he took the time to, you know, to interact with them or take a picture or whatever. Even though he was on the front end of his career, his reputation preceded his who he was or what he looked like or anything like that. He was really new to North America. And I just saw his the chemistry that he had, you know, and it was so that's what I felt from him and seeing him interacting. And then when the press conferences or things that we did need him to appear at, he was always 15 minutes early. You know, and he was the first one to show up and the last one to leave.
When you were here at the Score, Dan and I, we had talked to you about the race and you were excited about the race. So you had looked at the weather and like, I think we got a good one. And I remembered you, it's part of the reason that I wanted to talk with you, is I remembered how excited you were for his run in it. What was it that led you to believe that this could be a record-breaking, a special moment for him and for the marathon?
Well, I live a charmed life. I've done this for quite a while, and I've gotten to know some amazing athletes and work with amazing athletes. If you look at going back to Joan Samuelson, who set the American record in Chicago and then won the first Olympic gold medal in Los Angeles in the women's marathon. And Steve Jones, who'll be with us, this, who was our first world record holder and did some amazing things, won New York and won London. He was the best. Khalid Kanucci, Sammy Wanjiru, Constantina Dita, who won Chicago and won an Olympic gold medal, Dina Castor, who won Chicago and London, and Paula Radcliffe, who won Chicago and set the world record. I've been very fortunate to be around amazing athletes. I'm talking about the women, but on the men's side, Eliud Kipchoge, his first major was in Chicago, so I had worked with him. Kenesa Bekele, who's the all-time Olympic medal winner from in the 5 and the 10,000 meters and on the track. And just being around them and watching them train and watching them perform and compete, he was just above all those. I had never seen anyone like him. It was like he floated. It was like it's effortless. And the truly great ones, they do that. And, you know, I knew we were, you know, I knew Chicago, Chicago, there was such a history and tradition. He was keenly aware of that. And we've had so many Kenyans that have come to Chicago and perform well. I think that he's one of these athletes that taps into the history and the legacy and the chemistry of the athletes that came before him. And he feels like he's the guy that's going to take it to the next level. He's a proud Kenyan, great family man, father. So I think all those things he used. And you know, people... I think he brought the city together. I think that his performance really resonated with everyone. So it was just a special, and it was just a different level. And I will tell you, I think he would have been the face of marathon running. I think he would have been an individual that made marathon running, a household name. I think he would have no problem going to New York or Boston or running on these challenging courses and running away there. So he just had it all. He was amazing. And so early in his career, so he had so much left. He had just barely scratched the surface. So, those are the things when I think about him now and I look back is what he did and how special he was, but what he could have done.
The unlimited potential. I think the entire running world has mourned his life, but also the potential and taking this thing to the next step because he was so young in his career.
Sure. If you go back and watch his performance in Chicago, I think he was even tapping the brakes a little bit. I don't think he really let everything out. I mean, he ran a magnificent second half of the race, and he did it the old-fashioned way. He just put it on his shoulders. Our pacers, they they were gone. Another one of our athletes went up to help him a little bit. But, I mean, the second half of the course, it was all him. And, you know, we had guys behind him that were very, very talented athletes. We had an Olympic medalist. We had two-time Boston champion. And he didn't even give him a glance. I mean, he was racing against history. He was racing against the history of this event, the history of the sport, and the clock. And it was – he did it the old-fashioned way.
I'm taken aback when I watch the last 5 miles of the race of how – and you see it especially in the last two – how he took from the crowd, how the energy of the people of Chicago helped to push him forward. And you see, like, okay, now he's – that kick, that speed kick is starting to happen with him. For someone who loves this city and this event, what was it like for you to see him connect with the city and the city connect with him?
Well, I think that people that are casual observers of the marathon were drawn to the marathon because of him. I think the text that I got, the messages that we received, being stopped on the street where people would say, hey, I watched the marathon. It was the first one I've lived in Chicago for 25 years. What an amazing performance. You know, I live on Clark Street. A world record was set on my front door. So I think he connected with so many people, you know, his personality. Lawrence, this is a great sporting city. We know that. I mean, if you think about the commitment that our fans have and to our traditional sports teams and the energy that this city has around the Bears or the Bulls or the excitement of our baseball teams, although we've had a challenging year in some cases. But I don't know any more loyal fans or sports fans than the city of Chicago. And, you know, he crossed over to those fans, casual observers of the marathon that pay attention, but all of a sudden he brought a whole different group of people out and connected with it. So we owe him that. And I think he would have done that in any event that he competed in.
This moment right here, you know, he crosses the finish line. You catch him. He runs into your arms. The joy on your face, the smile on his face. Yeah. What do you remember about this?
I just remember telling him that, you know, saying, hey, Kelvin, you're the world record holder. You've done it. You've broke Kipchoge's record. And I think there was an emotional. I think he was overtaken by the emotion of it. But he immediately gathered his thoughts, and he asked me where Khalid Kanucci was. And I said, he's in the bleachers just, you know, 50 yards down here. And he immediately spun around and went back. The last individual, the last man to break the world record in Chicago was Khalid Kanucci, and he wanted to recognize him. So I think that shows his awareness of the sport, and he wanted to recognize the last man that broke the world record in Chicago. It was special, really special.
When you got news of the car accident, what were you feeling?
Oh, wow. It was, you know, I was the first one that was contacted. Our Nike is our wonderful sponsor, and they had heard that there was an accident, and there was a possibility that Kelvin was involved. And then this was early afternoon, late afternoon in Chicago. And then I got a call that it was Kelvin's car, and the coach and him were in the car, there was another athlete in the car. And then the third call was that he had died at the scene, Kelvin and his coach. So shock and disbelief. It was difficult to process. It's almost like you're like, wait a minute, is this a dream? I'm waiting for it. So I just sat there for a little bit. I was the only one at my house at the time. And it was like losing a family member, losing someone that you've grown really, really close to. In the short period of time that we knew him. And then I reached out to some of our team, Tracy Wilson, who manages our elite athlete program, and Alex Sawyer, who's our communication. And I mean, I would say Tracy, I called her and said, there's been a horrible accident. Kelvin has died in an accident. And she just hung up on me. And then 20 minutes later, she said, what did you say to me? What was, she had kind of blocked it out. So it was tough. It still is.
How are you mourning this? Like, how have you tried to work through this because of what he meant to the Chicago Marathon, what the Chicago Marathon means to you, what he meant to you, and what you meant to him. How are you working through this?
Well, I think for us is celebrating his life. I mean, obviously tragic incident, and you know, heartbreaking, and it still hurts. Our team is still affected by it. But what we'll do this year is just celebrate his life. We are all of our elite athletes that wear a bib will wear a Kelvin Kiptum mark on it, his name and his time. We'll recognize him at the start of the race. We have created a tribute to him at the Expo when people enter the Expo with his performances and what he did in Chicago. Obviously, our broadcast partner on the TV side of it is doing a great tribute to him. Obviously, what we're doing with the score here, recognizing him. Our volunteers, all of our participants, will be handing out a mark sticker that if they want to affix it to their bib. Our general participants, and obviously we're going to celebrate his memory. I think that's what he would have wanted us to do. And I mean, it's you know, I'm looking at the field, and we have some very good athletes as we always do. But there's a big hole there. There's no doubt about it. There's somebody missing there, and it'll take us a while to move away from that and to find an athlete or an athlete that aspires to be like Kelvin. I think hopefully there's a young man out there somewhere that looks at what Kelvin did and said, I want to be like him, like he looked at the athletes that came before him. I mean, he was keenly aware of that and keenly grateful to all the athletes that had done what they had done before. So he still has a training group. There has been a foundation for his family and for the training group that he supports. Even at his young age, he was supporting about 20 other athletes in Kenya with his support and his prize money. That will continue. We're working with his manager and Nike, and then also there's people have the opportunity to support the foundation in his memory.
Yeah, I meant to ask about that you know, obviously he's a Chicago sports legend, but the country of Kenya is mourning this too. So I'm glad that there is still that connection where he gets to continue that legacy on of trying to help others and have them be a part of the world that he was a part of.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll continue with that. I mean, he'll be part. There's been 6 world records set in Chicago over the years. He was the 6th and most recent one. So, if anything, he put Chicago front and center. Even myself, I think I kind of started to lull into thinking, well, maybe it is Berlin. Maybe that's where it is. I mean, the last world record was Bridget Koskay, and then he put us front and center again. He sent a message to everybody that Chicago was still, if not the fastest, one of the fastest places to run in the world. So I think there'll be young athletes that'll come behind him that are coming here in 12 days to go after it. So that competitive spirit and that energy will live on. I think the athletes that are going to be competing on Sunday, October 13, are going to carry that energy and that memory with them and get after it.
One last thing. What's something that you hope people take from the life of Kelvin Kiptum?
You know, he didn't put any restraints on himself. He didn't put any limitations on himself. I mean, he was a sublimely talented athlete, and he used that ability and that athleticism to express himself. And I think we got more out of it than he did. I mean, he obviously, the financial side of it, I mean, his bonuses and were fantastic for him. But I mean, what lives on is that a young man that came to a city for the first time and created history. And that's what we'll remember. And the short time that we really knew him was how balanced he was, how approachable he was, and what a personally humble guy he was. And that's what we'll take with us.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy California red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA Choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.